Welcome to the Revenue Lounge, a podcast for revenue operations professionals who want to understand the various facets of this important go-to-market function. In each episode, the team at Nectar interviews revenue warriors on how they are reimagining revenue operations in creative and disruptive ways, and what are their secrets to building a scalable and predictable revenue engine. Let's get started.
There's a common trap many organizations are currently falling into: rushing to implement AI tools without addressing the foundational issues of data quality. While AI has the potential to transform revenue operations, the not so often talked about piece is it's only as good as the data that it's built upon. Without clean, accurate, and aligned data, AI tools can fail to deliver the expected value, or worse, cause more harm than good. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Revenue Lounge. I am your host, Randy Likas. And in this episode, we will dive into the importance of clean data as a prerequisite for AI adoption and revenue operations. We'll explore why data readiness matters, the mistakes companies often make, and how leaders can ensure they're fully prepared before layering AI on top of their operations. And joining me today is Olga Treskova. Olga is the Vice President of Revenue Operations at BirdEye. She has over 15 years experience in marketing operations, revenue operations, and as the VP of Revenue Operations at BirdEye, she partners with go-to-market leadership to hit revenue targets and improve sales and marketing efficiency by enforcing processes, policies, change management protocol, business requirements, and data governance. Olga, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Randy. Looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, I am as well. So Olga, usually what I like to do is get to know you a little bit. So maybe you can walk us through your background, your career journey, and your current role at BirdEye.
Sure. And everything you said is right. I work at BirdEye. I run revenue operations. That's the global team. We have sellers in the United States, in UK and Australia. And we ensure that we cover all of those regions with sales ops, customer success operations, and marketing operations. We also oversee the tech stack and go-to-market tools, responsible for forecasting, pipeline analytics, and overall customer journey and funnel performance. This is my second VP of revenue operations job. Before that, I was at a number of companies, but I started as a marketing operations specialist, marketing operations person. I come from the marketing background. It is always in my heart. And I just organically over the years moved into the RevOps world. I was lucky to work with CMOs that were asking very challenging questions around sales performance, around pipeline management, around handoffs between BDRs and sales. And that sort of made me move and inspect sales processes, sales behavior. That's how I transitioned from marketing ops to sales operations. Then looking past close one into the customer success cycle, just looking into different questions, process enhancements, improvements, optimizations, you know, made my way to cover pretty much entire customer journey. And there the definition came. So I don't want to say that I was doing RevOps before there was RevOps, but we had to look into the entire process to be able to answer those questions and cover gaps and optimize them. I love what I do. I love revenue operations. It's ever-changing, ever-challenging. And I think what we will be talking about today, AI in RevOps, is a very new and very hot topic that the industry is booming with.
Yeah, absolutely. I just had one follow-up question. It's interesting because I talked to a lot of different organizations, and sometimes RevOps has a dotted line to marketing ops. So marketing ops still sits in marketing, yet revenue operations covers everything else, right? Including customer success. With your background in marketing operations, does the marketing operations team actually roll into the full revenue operations team, or is it still live in marketing?
That's right. I mean, keep your eggs in one basket, you know? So have all of the ops in one team under one department. Yep. And I'm taking it even further. I don't believe in silos within revenue operations. While my team members, they do focus on top of the funnel, middle of the funnel, or customer success or analytics, each person has their skills and has their expertise that we absolutely need to leverage and focus on. But I believe in blurring those lines. Whenever a marketing director, a sales director, any leader within the company comes into revenue operations, any person should be able to answer the questions. So I'm ensuring that we're all very well aware and up to speed of what we're doing in revenue operations, and basic customer journey, funnel, tech stack questions can be answered by any person within revenue operations. So we become hybrids, we become real business operations, go-to-market operations, go-to-market engineers, whatever you want to call it. But we're responsible for people, processes, systems, and alignments within those across the entire customer journey.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's the best way. We have enough silos in our data. We don't need to have our function siloed anymore, right?
Yes, absolutely. And we should just stop obsessing of who RevOps should be reporting to, dotted lines or any other lines. We are here to optimize and execute. I don't want to spend time having these conversations about where we belong. I don't want to waste time. I want to focus on what matters and deliver.
Absolutely. So let's dive into the topic at hand. What I really love is, I think about 3 weeks ago, you created a post on LinkedIn. And that post had gotten a lot of engagement. But what I loved about it most is it did talk about the thing that nobody's really talking about, which is there's so much hype around AI and the potential. And don't get me wrong, there is. But without good data as the foundation, the hype is not going to deliver. Mm-hmm. So what I'd love to do is just pick your brain a little bit on the genesis of that post. Maybe walk me through the moment or what led to that post, frustration, experiments, things that sort of led you to that, to actually make that post.
As many other revenue operations orgs, we of course explore different AI features and AI tools. And even at this point, we cannot be in the exploration mode anymore. We want to start implementing, right? And as I start looking into, okay, which ones I can implement, I realized that what was true in 2005 is even truer now. It's foundation first, right? Garbage in, garbage out. When we first started rolling out Marketo's of the world or Clary's or any other tools that helped us with either insights into our forecasting or insights into sales process or delivering communications to our customers and prospects, we realized that if you do have bad data underlying, you're not going to get a better result, right? So what I'm seeing with AI now, it's very much the same. AI can amplify what you have, but if your foundation is not fixed, you're just going to bring this shiny object on top of a pile of garbage, right? So you need to fix your foundational processes first. What I'm trying to do right now, my number one goal is to maximize sales time. Our sales process is pretty rigorous. We do have extensive qualification criteria. We are very focused on what's going into the pipeline. So I do have fields that I want salespeople to fill in on that opportunity in Salesforce. At the same time, I realize that it takes time for them to fill in those fields, right? Might take up to 60% of their time after the call to fill in the qualification notes and next steps and pain points and whatnot, right? So my number one goal is to put them back on the sales floor to prospect and to outbound. How can I do that? Well, there is an AI app now that can listen to the call and fill in all of these notes. Yeah. So guess what? If the call is not properly recorded and properly synced into my CRM and then attached to the record that I want it to be attached, there is no point in trying to analyze. So if whatever I'm using to record my calls just tagged this call incorrectly, or the transcript was not captured, or people were not added to this call, then there's no point in having AI analyze it, right? Because it's going to, again, deliver me poor results because the foundation was poor. So that sort of caused my frustration. And I go back to all of the same tools that we're very well aware of that we're using for the call recordings. And it's going back to the integration between my CRM and all of this parallel apps that are salespeople running. And if I don't fix those connections first, I'm back to the problem of 15 years ago of garbage in, garbage out. So AI can amplify your efficiency, but it cannot definitely fix your underlying chaos. So I still need people to go and see how it can be optimized and how gaps can be fixed.
Yeah. What I love about what you just said is it is a great use case because in this day and age, we shouldn't have to have reps manually fill that information out if the automation is available there, that you're probably going to get a richer data set from that call transcript or looking across different call transcripts than a rep's ever going to enter into CRM themselves, because they usually get put the minimum amount of information that's required in order to advance the op or whatever it might be, right? But the other thing you said, which I think is really important, I want to just click into a little bit, is it sounds like you identified the problem that you wanted to solve first, right? The next question I was going to ask is, as you talk to other RevOps leaders across companies and you're at different conferences and things like that, what are the common mistakes you think people make when jumping into AI? One is obviously the data foundation. Two, which I think you were implying at, is understand what your problem is first and what you're trying to solve for, right? But I'd be curious if there's other mistakes that you've seen or heard folks make that maybe they can watch out for or think about before jumping into the shiny AI data product that's presented to them.
Right. It's cut through the AI noise, right? That's what it's important. Pretty much every tool now has AI component to it or an agent. Plus there's, I think, what is the latest, more than 30,000 different AI apps on the market that can help you with different use cases. As always, right, I feel like the time changes and there's like new car models on the market, but you still need to define your path from A to B. Like, yeah, it will not define for you, right? You need to understand what are the use cases, what are your priorities that you need to focus on to streamline your either go-to-market processes, or what is the goal that you are trying to achieve? What is this problem statement that you're trying to solve, right? And for me, it's not about filling out the fields, right? It's about maximizing sales time, because this is where the impact to the organization is. And just one of the levers is filling out the fields. It's not the only lever. There could be other ones that I absolutely need to implement. So there's a multitude of different sort of tactics and instruments that would go into that. But why do you want to maximize sales time? Well, because salespeople are expensive, their time is expensive, and you want to focus them on selling. So your proposition would be, okay, to increase your ACV or to increase your sales cycle or to increase the customer happiness if you're talking to a customer success rep, right? So that they can travel and visit their customers on sites more. That's what you need to give them back time. So understanding the why and digging through the whys, right? Exactly what are you trying to achieve? Because there's going to be, as I said, multiple different instruments that you can use. AI could be one of them, but I still cannot see how can you remove a person from this equation, right? So there's a lot of conversations talk about replacing people with AI. It probably will happen at some point, or maybe we will add to an existing person. We will add as AI agents, right? We will have humans in our teams and AI agents in our teams that will do the job. For now, I'm looking at AI as a partner to help me do my job and to help my team members deliver their job faster or with deeper insights.
Yeah, if I could just replay that back a little bit, I think what you're saying is like, let AI do the minutiae, the work that an expensive person, whether it be a salesperson or a RevOps person, free them up to focus on the most important activities, whether it be selling or whether it be doing more strategic work on the RevOps side of things. That to me is where you're seeing, at least in the near term, the immediate opportunities and benefits of flying.
Partner with AI to amplify your work, to help you research if you're a salesperson. One of the use cases is, of course, research and deep dive into the account, deep dive into the people that you are talking to understand where they're at, what their priorities are. Yep. If you're in analytics or if you're in RevOps, have it explore your existing processes. It could be lead scoring, it could be account prioritization, it could be deal inspection, it could be helping you with forecasting accuracy and whatnot. But think of it as a partner, just running alongside you, not something that you can absolutely tear apart and replace with AI. At least I'm not there yet. I think we're going that direction, but I'm not confident in doing that yet.
So you probably, I would imagine, get 100 calls, 100 emails a week of everybody promoting their new AI capabilities. And I guess the question I have is, how do you cut through the noise in terms of what, you know, where you want to lean in versus where you don't?
Again, I'm coming from what's important for me now, right? There are multiple use cases that I'm exploring. And one of them, what we just talked about, filling out the fields, right? And from there, I can take it further, right? I can take it into the deal scoring, deal analysis, prediction, either it's going to close or not. Once the deal is closed, I can also use that to analyze and give me the win reasons or close reasons. So I'm very much focused on the pipeline management of things and forecasting. So that is one of the areas that I want to improve. I want to bring our forecasting accuracy to within 5%. Mm-hmm. I want to deliver a number that I'm confident in to my C-level, to my CFO and the board. So that it's one of my key priorities. And that's how I'm solving it. Alongside that, I'm also solving for maximizing sales time. So there are use cases for RevOps, CFO, and sales while I'm doing that. So I'm focused on exactly, hey, what I'm looking for. Yeah. Of course, there are AI apps that can do pretty much anything for you right now. There are sales coaching, right, which is interesting, but not a priority right now. There's content, also interesting, not a priority. There's SDR agents, but we're not there yet. So I think it's just basing yourself. You mentioned the shiny objects. I think we went through this sort of fatigue of buying go-to-market tools maybe about 7 years ago, right, when we just purchased everything that was out there in the market and we ended up, now that we have this experience, we're more careful in selecting.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about how do I centralize and how do I aggregate? Because what I also want to be cognizant about is that there's so many tools in the market. And with all of this macroeconomics, what's going on, a lot of these apps will evaporate or they will be folded under other players in the market. So there's, of course, going to be a lot of movement on the market happening with all of these companies being acquired or just like ceasing to exist. So I want to make a smart decision, long-term decision. I also don't want to fatigue my sellers of training them on one thing, then untraining them and training them on another thing. Yeah. So because I learned through experience and blood, sweat, and tears of rolling out different tools, I'm thinking long term. I'm thinking, okay, I either need to bring an app that's going to be very low lift on the seller. Mm-hmm. They just log in and it's so easy for them. They don't even realize that there's something going on in the background and the process is simplified for them versus there's an additional thing that they need to learn and click and verify and this and that. So I don't want that. I want to simplify, but I want to simplify in the long-term effect, right? I want to think about, okay, this solution is going to stick and will be on the market for another year at least.
Yeah. So let's click into the data readiness piece because absent of the tool, the data needs to have the foundation. So what are some of the core elements that you believe need to be in place or need to be fixed before we start thinking about some of the AI capabilities?
Yeah, your core elements, as you rightly said, right? Either you're looking, so we say RevOps, right? But let's not talk about marketing versus sales versus customer success. Customer journey, define your customer journey. What is this process? What goes into this process? What are the stages? What are the statuses? Yep. Do you have duplicates? Line them up. There are always conversations, leads versus contacts. Just make them the same. Ensure that whatever system reads your data, it's readable and it's understandable. When you talk to AI, right, it's a prompt, right? You speak to it in English or any other language. So it should be translatable in a sentence. You should be able to talk to it in a sentence and ask it. And if you're asking it to map to certain fields, those fields also should be recognizable. It's very simple, but it's very much down to tactics, ensuring that your data and your core objects are organized, right? That you have your journey defined, right? You understand what is a lead. You understand what is an MQL, what is an opportunity. There's no way to escape those basic definitions so that you can then ask a question and get back a reliable answer.
Yeah. One of the things that I think most companies are struggling with right now is a lot of their data that they need to have kind of in one place in order to do this is that it's siloed. It's not living in one place of a system of record. We'll pick on sales engagement for the moment. Sales engagement platforms have a place and have a value, but they only write a you know, a little bit of information back to Salesforce. What they're wanting to do is keep a lot of the data within their own platform to drive adoption of their platform. And so the case of, like, say, a buying committee, as people come in and out of a deal and are starting to influence the deal, not necessarily writing those people back to the opportunity record inside of Salesforce so you can understand your full buying committee, like who are the influencers. It may be in a platform, another platform, but it's not in the core system of record. Yeah. How do you deal with that?
I think in the future, it won't matter, right? Like, if you have OpenAI enterprise license, you can plug into a bunch of different tools. It doesn't matter. You can have disparate systems. It's okay. If you don't, you still need to select the system of record. But I am seeing this concept disappearing. And maybe a couple of years ago, we were also focused on having single source of truth. Mm-hmm. Not the case anymore, because to what you said, there are systems that are just tailored for different use cases. Marrying those systems together is a challenge. So until you have Snowflake and then AI that plugs into your Snowflake and sits on top of that and can do all the magic, until that, you have to have a single source of truth. So you have to have your buying committee identified on your opportunity. Because I do have my sales methodology and I do have my sales process, and I require multi-threading in opportunity. I will flag it as a risk if you tell me that your opportunity is strong, but you have only one person that you're talking to every other week, right? So it's an absolute risk. So for us, it's still a CRM. It's still a CRM because, again, I want to forecast accurately. I want to understand and see how our metric or metric is being followed and all of the checks and balances are in place. But I can absolutely see the future, which is, I predict, very near in about a year or two, where it won't matter, and we will have an aggregator sitting on top of all of our systems that will be able to answer all of those questions in a native language. So if I'm going to type in somewhere and ask, hey, what are the key buying personas in this deal, it will just pull up from your Sales Loft, Outreach, Gong, Sales, Google, Gmail, etc. So that, I think, this is where it's all going. For now, we're still focused on the CRM.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned earlier the example about the call recording and it not logging to the right opportunity. Was that actually an AI use case or project that you tried? And
that's a real life. I was very pissed at that. And that's what prompted my post. And it's interesting how many people engage, because that's the reality that we're living in. We are trying to drive Rolls Royce where we just have not passed for the driver's license, so to speak, right? Or where we don't have our garage in order, we have nowhere to park this Rolls Royce, but we all want this shiny object because apparently it's supposed to solve all of our problems. So I realized that if I don't fix the sync between my call recording platform and my CRM, I have nowhere to analyze. I'm also seeing the call recordings landed in wrong places. And then I'm just analyzing it absolutely incorrectly, right? And then going back to, okay, AI is your partner and you spend time, again, verifying, because there are multiple layers to it, right? First of all, you need to have your foundation in place, but AI is still fresh, right? Mm-hmm. It might hallucinate. So you need to verify what is it doing, right? Mm-hmm. And it takes time for any AI to learn your business. There are three layers: foundational, industry, and then your company layer.
Yeah.
You need to be trained on all of those three layers to actually deliver good insights, strong insights. So it's very real scenario that I'm still solving for. It's still not solved, of having 100% of calls recorded and in the right places and tagged to the right places. So I'm trying to achieve that goal. And in parallel, I'm running with evaluating different apps that will help me transcribe them and fill out the fields.
And solve that use case, yeah. Are there any other applications that you're currently using? I know it's around pipeline and sales, making salespeople more effective, but is there any other use cases that you've tried and are working?
We all use ChatGPT on the daily lives. Recently, I have also attempted Claude, and I like Claude. It's way more nuanced, and I like Claude for data analysis.
Yeah.
It actually delivers great insights. So in ChatGPT, you can switch between 03 and 4.0. One has reasoning, other one is more for tasks and conversations, questions. Claude, I'm finding, is great for analytics and anything to dig deeper. So those are the apps that I'm using on a daily basis. I then love combining that with Gamma for slides and PowerPoints to quickly prepare for the meeting to visualize all the findings. I like how this the junction between ChatGPT, Claude, and Gamma. And then, of course, I'm loving the transcribing and summaries after even my internal calls. Zoom has an amazing AI companion. It sends me very thorough summaries and next steps that I'm using after the call to follow up. It's great. So nothing on the enterprise level rolled out to sellers, but we do, as a company, use GPT, ChatGPT, to prepare for calls, to analyze our accounts. I love LinkedIn Sales Navigator AI component. I love Zoom Info's AI component. I think this is very important to stay up to date with all of the vendors that you currently have, with all of the apps that you currently have. They are developing fast and they adding new features pretty much every other week. So keeping your sellers and your teams abreast of what are these companies delivering so that you can actually start using them in your daily lives. That's again going to amplify you. So I guess sometimes you don't need a net new tool. Sometimes you just need to see what's out there, right? Mm-hmm. I know Salesforce is about to release in summer release some of the AI features with an account plans. Looking forward to that. So I guess, you know, sometimes you don't, you know, if there is a gap, try to cover that with a new tool, but also look into what you already have, because there might be some of the existing elements already in your, some of the new elements in your existing tech stacks that you don't need to invest additionally or train reps additionally on. It's going to be just a new feature they can adopt.
Yeah. Curious, at BirdEye, who owns AI from a go-to-market standpoint? Is it RevOps that sort of is responsible for the evaluation of all the tools and the capabilities and how that maps back to our priorities? Or is it one of your business partners, customer success, who says, like, we want a better way to identify deal risk? And are they starting the evaluation and then looping you in? Or is it none of the above?
I mean, I would say it's more on the go-to-market leadership side. And our go-to-market leadership sits across multiple functions, right? It's truly cross-functional. We do have marketing leaders, sales leaders, customer success, BDR, RevOps, leaders in the go-to solution engineers, of course, and the go-to-market leadership. So in our sort of cross-functional meetings and calls, we identify what the gaps are, what are the areas of improvement, and how can we solve it, right? So this deal scoring, forecasting accuracy, having predictability is one of the core use cases. So RevOps is tasked with validating vendors, running demos, and then making sort of the recommendation.
Yeah.
We do finalize the requirements because we work cross-functionally with all of these leaders. So we gather requirements, we finalize requirements, and then we would run with evaluating different solutions and then make our recommendation.
And then I think it's changed a lot over the past 12 to 18 months. But if I go back a year and a half ago, people were championing the idea of bringing in a solution like this, and it was getting just knocked and killed by compliance and legal and everybody else because they didn't. It just it made them very uncomfortable. And I think a lot of organizations are getting more comfortable with it. But I'm just curious, was that what you saw as well? Or is BirdEye a little bit more of a progressive organization where you're kind of more open to these types of solutions?
We are becoming progressive, but it's you. I 100% agree with you, right? And if you talk to security, IT security, legal folks, right, they of course have their concerns. Okay, how are you going to read? How are you going to write? What access do you have? How do we ensure that you don't use our data to train your model and add it as a recommendation for your other customers? So there are those concerns, but I think they are solvable and we're finding the common ground to move forward with AI apps and this. As with anything new, right, especially this one is so fast moving, we need to also regroup fast and we need to think about it differently quickly. I think we are adapting. We do have an internal recommendation or regulation that we all need to think about how we are using AI in our daily lives and use it more. And I 100% agree. I 100% agree with that. This is developing so fast that if we don't jump on this now, we're going to become ourselves very, very outdated. And this is where a lot of leaders are going back to tactics. And a lot of leaders that were sitting on the strategic level for many years, now they realize unless they learn The difference between ChatGPT and Claude and understand what Perplexity is and how can they use all of that in their daily life, they just going to become outdated very fast. So to stay up to speed with all of these developments, so now you need to go back to how to's and with what and what are the key tools and how can you use them and what are differentiators, what's out there in the market. You need to quickly get up to speed. So I also encourage my teams to use it daily and test it out. And it gives you a lot of food for thought and gives you a lot of creative ideas on how to operationalize it in your daily lives.
Yeah, I read a post recently from one of the big VC firms. And it was interesting. He said, if you're a go-to-market executive at a SaaS company right now, you better start leaning in and learning how this stuff works, because everyone else who's competing for the next job that you might be going after is, and it's going to be becoming a really critical component. And if you don't know the ins and outs of it, it's a bit of a red flag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I'm very curious about it. I'm very curious to learn about it. I mandate myself to go and use it every day. I would love to explore how to build agents and how to build certain workflows, et cetera. It's back to the days when we were implementing Salesforces and implementing different tools. Now it's just the playbook. Now it's very natural for us. Right. So I hope that this AI apps will also become natural, right? It's just another tool in your toolkit. That's how, that's what you can use.
So before I transition to what we call our lightning round, which is a little more personal and a little more, about you, is there anything around the AI topic that I haven't asked you about that you would think would you want to share with the audience?
I think the question, as always, with a new investment is the how do you measure the success, right? And how do you measure ROI on this? And I saw on LinkedIn there are several polls on this topic, and the questions were around, do you expect your CAC to go down? Do you expect your sales cycle to become faster? Do you expect your ACV, or do you expect it's going to stay pretty much the same and it's just going to make your life easier? And I feel like, what is it, was around 70% of people said it's going to be pretty much stay the same, which I'm hoping with time we'll figure out how to actually reduce CAC and how to actually increase the sales velocity and forecasting accuracy, right? Now we're just tapping our toes. We're using it daily, but we cannot figure out how to start measuring results from this. And I just actually had a meeting where we analyzed a bunch of calls and we had AI bring us recommendations on sales coaching after it listened to all of the calls. So it gave us very thorough recommendations. By rep, this person needs to focus more on the top funnel qualification questions. This person should be able to deal with objections or whatnot. This person should go wider in the account and understand the key players. So very thorough, very good recommendations based on a number of different calls. Now, you know what AI cannot do? Hmm. It cannot execute.
That's right.
It still cannot replace me, a program, a coach, someone who's going to sit next to them, shadow them, and guide them how to overcome objections, how to expand your search. Yes, it can help you. I can write a program, right? But it still cannot execute. It cannot ensure this happens. It cannot do this project management for me where I pull in my enablement person, I pull in sales manager, I pull in content writer, I pull in our marketing manager who runs social to help me with all of these use cases and the gaps that I identified on each level. Now I need to combine this team together and go and execute and ensure that these gaps are covered. So that this, when I say partner with AI, that's what I mean. Like, it can identify all of these things. It can help you take it further, but you still have to ensure it happens. Like, you still have to deliver on this. So I think that's how we're going to be measuring success, where we can actually cover these gaps faster and move on.
Yeah. Great. Well, let's move into the lightning round, because I want to be cognizant of your time here. The first question I usually like to ask folks is, if you weren't doing revenue operations, what would you be doing?
Oh my God, I'm going to be a spa tester. I think I was 14 years old when one of the magazines I read about the 10 dream jobs. And first one was like librarian. I was like, oh, what? No. And then was a florist. Fine. Interesting. And then one of the top five was like spa tester. It's a real thing. You know, companies like Four Seasons, they hire you and they send you secret shopping for their new spa centers. So I would happily do that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. What's your favorite part about being the leader of revenue operations at Bird Eye?
There's never-ending learning opportunities. Revenue operations is an ever-expanding role. And with AI, it's truer than ever. You learn technology, you learn analytics, you learn people, you learn processes, you learn relationships, you learn how to build rapport internally and externally. So it covers a lot. It also gives you an opportunity to see things from the top, to see what is our North Star, what are we after, what's the real game. And then you take it down many levels and then you execute that on many levels. It gives you breadth of visibility, and that's what I love about it.
What's the flip side of that question? What's really hard about your job?
There's 926 unread texts right now, and there's no time ever. So there's a lot of moving pieces. There's several priorities at a time. There are multiple things that I personally work on and deliver and execute at the same time and manage the global team. So flip side is that all RevOps people are always busy.
Yeah. What did maybe a piece of advice that you received early in your career that has stuck with you and is still applicable today?
Say yes, and then figure out how to do it. Now I need to learn how to say no. But the piece of advice for any person rolling into a RevOps role or any other role when you're being asked, can we do this or can we do that? Say yes, and then you go explore. A lot of things are not obvious and visible, but a lot of things are achievable. RevOps is a very practical role. You learn by doing, and unfortunately, you also learn by making mistakes. So you learn by integrating systems, you learn by unintegrating systems, by fixing things. And that's how you progress in your career. Unless you put yourselves there into the fire, you're not going to be able to learn. I learned because, as I said, I was answering all of the challenging questions and just putting myself out there. And that's how I made it through all of those cycles of ops.
Yeah, I love that advice. Last question, what do you do to decompress when you leave the job and you want to just basically let loose a little bit or just decompress from the pressures of the job? What do you do?
I go outside. I go hiking. I live in Los Angeles. I go hiking. I just want to be out there. I put my headphones on and I listen to a podcast, I listen to music, and I just walk.
Yeah, that's great. So, listen, Olga, I really appreciate your advice and knowledge here. I think it's very impactful. Everyone is going through this right now, and so this is going to be a great episode for our listeners. So thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. And that's another episode of the Revenue Lounge. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you.